Welcome to the Future of Supply Chain, where each episode we'll sit down with entrepreneurs, investors, and industry veterans to discuss innovation, technology, and the most exciting opportunities in trucking and logistics as we build the future of supply chain together. Be sure to head over to podcast.dynamo.vc to keep up to date with our latest content or subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Now, let's get into the show. Here's our host, Santosh Sankar.
Hey, ladies and gents, welcome back to the Future Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Santosh Sankar, and joining me today is Martin Rand, co-founder and CEO of Pactum. Welcome, Martin.
Hi, Santosh. It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, great to have you on, a company that we're really excited about to see where you all go and take this opportunity that's sitting ahead of you. But would love to just introduce at a high level, what are you and your team at Pactum working on?
Yeah, so we automate tail spend negotiations with AI. And this is a rather complicated sentence, but what it really means is that we're working with the largest enterprises in the world, the likes of Walmart, and all of our customers have a similar problem. They have tens of thousands of vendors, and 80% of the vendors are long-tail vendors or tail-spend vendors. And that means not enough human attention from the procurement professionals can be allocated to these vendors. And that means those deals are not optimal, meaning if people would actually renegotiate those deals, then both sides would gain. The vendor would gain and the enterprise would gain. But quite often, the kind of this neglected value in those deals is too small to mandate a human taking a look. So these deals are sometimes neglected. And what we do is renegotiate those deals with a machine.
And, you know, this is such a unique area to focus on. I'd be curious, like, how did you and your co-founders even stumble into building a startup focused on this opportunity, this problem area?
Yeah, so my last startup was Vital Fields. It was a compliance-focused software for farmers. We ended up selling that to Monsanto, and I became commercial lead for Climate Corporation, which was Monsanto's digital arm. And my responsibility was whole of Europe, and I had to negotiate deals with big food and ag enterprises in Europe. My week could begin with negotiating with the Ukrainians and end with negotiating with the French. And I believe I got to see all possible cognitive biases and cultural differences there is to see in negotiations. So I thought, wow, this is more complicated than it should be. For people and technology could make negotiations a lot more efficient. The business world runs on negotiations. And people pay a lot of attention to strategic negotiations, but the long tail negotiations, which make up a bigger majority of all negotiations, are quite often just neglected.
And that's really interesting, because I think a lot of our listeners who have a procurement, supplier, vendor background, as well as folks, you know, who are oftentimes selling into organizations and they need to deal with this dynamic, a lot of people might have the misconception that negotiations have a clear winner and a clear loser. But the one thing I've learned from spending time with you is that's not the case. And you actually have a lot of research supporting the Pactum approach. I'd love to walk through that.
Sure. So the goal of any negotiation in the world should be reaching Pareto optimality. And Pareto optimality is a state where one side cannot get a better deal without hurting the other side. Most deals in the world are not Pareto optimal. simply because there is the data surrounding the deals is too complex. The people negotiating the deals, you know, have the same things which I mentioned, like cultural differences or lack of preparation or abusing their strength or cognitive biases. So they don't achieve the Pareto optimal state. And essentially, our task becomes to look at the deal and determine how can it be pushed towards the Pareto optimal frontier. And that means that both sides will usually gain value.
Yep. So how does a customer use the Pactum solution? Would you be able to like walk us through a user story as to how a customer day to day has Pactum helping them with their long tail negotiations?
Sure. So it all begins with the onboarding process, which is a very complicated part of the whole flow. And that usually takes about 2 months, and we go into the enterprise with, or nowadays do video calls with about three of our analysts, and we find out everything that's relevant to these negotiations. That means all of the data associated, the goals, the tactics, the strategies of these negotiations, the positive and negative levers, all of the negotiation items, and that data collection and interviews phase takes about 1 to 2 weeks. And then we get cracking with building what we call the value function. So this is the AI part of the product, which knows every interaction between each one of those negotiable items and is able to determine best strategies and tactics based on previous data, based on data from previous negotiations. After the value function is built, we build the negotiation flows, which is the kind of a human understandable chat, basically chat flow of a negotiation that then taps into the value function for knowledge, and then the product is ready to be sent out to vendors. And how we do that is that we send emails to the vendors from under the enterprise's email, and usually the email says something like, you know, hey, you've been an excellent vendor to us. We feel that there might be additional value that both sides could gain from the current deal. Let's talk about the current deal. And then in a chat interface, the vendor goes through the current contract and the goal of the bot is to find out what the vendor values, and it knows what the enterprise values, and it will try to do beneficial trades during this negotiation.
And is there a specific market or certain dynamics that Pactum works best in? Because I can think of some folks out there, like on the supplier side, who might need to be persuaded to use a digital solution rather than pick up the phone.
Yeah, we've worked with a lot of industries from online advertising to retail and real estate and where Pactum works best is where there is scale, where there are a lot of vaguely similar deals or negotiations to be had. And there is a big amount of them. So, and currently the retail industry is in flux. So the groceries retail is booming, and apparel retail is not doing so well. And this means adjustments to their vendors. And this means a lot of negotiations to their tens of thousands of vendors. So this is a good area. Manufacturing is the procurement people in manufacturing are trying to maintain their margins, but also keep the supply chain alive in this difficult time. And this requires a really thoughtful approach, and it's hard to give enough thought by humans if negotiating with thousands of small vendors.
And a lot of the negotiations, or actually all the negotiations, are done through a simple chat-based interface. Is that right?
That's true. Yes, the chat interface. We started from the chat interface, and we haven't found anything better. Chat works really well. It's written format. It's conversational, so it's pleasant. It can have all of the required data and information inside. And sometimes kind of our goal has never been to build a chatbot, and we're not a chatbot company, but somehow chat seems to be a great interface to have such negotiations.
And, you know, I'd be curious, you know, without naming names, like, what are some examples of the benefits you've seen your customers and their suppliers walk away with from, you know, taking part in a Pactum-driven renegotiation?
Yeah, so all of our negotiations are built up to expand the pie, so to create value for both sides. And for our customer, the enterprise, we built a back-end interface where they can see the value created for them, and they can see all of the negotiations taking place, all of the statuses, and the value created, and it's really invigorating to go through these back-end interfaces from time to time and see that there's a lot of additional value created in the world, and this is created for both sides. So the bot just goes through thousands of vendors and gets $7,000 from here, $5,000 from this other deal, and if there are tens of thousands of vendors, those numbers really add up to tens of millions.
And how does the vendor benefit? Because I think some people might overfixate on, well, the vendor might disproportionately be giving up revenue, but it also sounds like there's opportunity to take share from perhaps other vendors that your customer's doing business with or cross-selling a product. What have you seen as a supplier benefit?
Yeah, so there is it's very hard for a bot to strike a new deal if there is nothing in it for the vendor. We don't, you know, the bot does not cannot have authoritative negotiations and with a loud voice and demand concessions. The only way the bot can create value is if it creates value for both sides. And the items to negotiate about usually a huge number of things to negotiate about because usually the enterprise deals are complex. So there are freight terms, warehousing terms, payment terms, liability terms, you know, you name it, and we haven't even named price. So across all of those terms, we calculate the value for both sides. It doesn't even need to be the price. The price can remain the same. Mm-hmm. Both sides just receive terms that are beneficial for both of them.
So the interesting thing that you just actually pointed out is, you know, one cannot raise their voice or bring emotion, theatrics into it. And I'd be curious, like, how have you been able to limit that? Because I feel like a lot of that has to do with the beauty of your, you know, simple interface, the automation. How has that, you know, compounded with the way Pactum's built? Because emotion can be a bad thing in these situations.
Yeah, exactly. So, interestingly, emotion, the feedback that we have gotten from the vendors who have negotiated with the bot has been sometimes very human and very emotional. Something like, the bot listened to me, and finally I was able to kind of finally the other side considered what I had to say, and we got a good deal. They say that the system was very pleasant and polite. They know it's a bot on the other side, but they still attach these human elements to it. So we don't quite cut out the emotions from this. There can be good emotions as well in a negotiation. Mm-hmm. And not only bad emotions. The thing is that we are quite often, we start a negotiation where there was nothing at all previously. So the enterprise hadn't talked to the vendor for years and years, and not having a fully human negotiation isn't the problem there, because the benchmark is nothing at all. And if there's a bot that lacks some emotion, it still can generate a lot better results than not talking to this vendor at all.
Yep, that makes sense. And, you know, without kind of giving away the secret sauce, you're able to automate these functions or these negotiations rather because of the value function you create. Is there anything else that helps streamline and automate this capability? Because you're really bringing a powerful tool to the table for a Fortune 500 business.
Yeah. So this is the value function, and of course, learning from the data. The data we store is the psychological data about negotiations. So we learn what tactics and strategies work, what ways of phrasing sentences work, everything associated with how do we structure the negotiation well. And this data we store, and every negotiation makes every other negotiation better for each customer. And this is a totally unique data set. It, of course, enables to drive better results for both sides. And by the way, we don't use the business sensitive data. We don't use and we don't store business sensitive data to train our models. We only use the anonymized psychological data like that.
Yeah. So, like, how does somebody like Walmart leverage the Pactum solution so we could get it into a real world example?
Yeah. I can't I can't talk specifically around Walmart, but I can talk about the retail case. So firstly, there is direct and indirect procurement. So direct is anything that the company might sell. It's core business, and indirect are purchases to the office or protective equipment and things like that. And we can help in both of those. So in direct, we will talk to the vendors and agree on freight terms, agree on warehousing terms, agree on specific things like shelf space, if that is applicable, and payment terms and the price and so on. And in indirect, it's quite similar. So there are about 30 items that we can negotiate about and agree optimal outcomes.
And taking a step back here, you're at the very early innings of automating a very routine yet important function around management of the long tail. But, you know, how do you think about Pactum as we think about the future of supply chain 5, 7, 10, 20 years from now?
Yeah, so one thing that we're seeing that might be happening soon is that we will connect the value chain. We're working, most of our revenue comes from Fortune 500 companies, and that has created a lot of attention. And of course, large vendors to these enterprises are turning to us also and asking what could we do for them. And that opens up a whole new world, because suddenly if we have automated negotiations on both sides, we could potentially do bot-to-bot negotiations. Now, bot-to-bot negotiations are an entirely different ballgame, because essentially you could do a negotiation, you know, not every year as currently, but say every day, or interact or react to commodity price fluctuations, or interact to any data, for instance, the sales performance of the products, and of course, two bots will be able to find the Pareto optimal outcome instantly and perfectly adhere to the strategy of both sides. So this will make the world a lot more efficient.
And, you know, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit to talk about business building, because as you mentioned, this is your second startup. And I'd be curious, relative to your prior company, to Pactum, how did you approach going from that 0 to 1? You're starting with an idea and you take it into a product and win an early customer. Did that differ any?
I think it differed a little bit, because if it's the second startup, then one already has contacts and has some sort of some boldness or courage. Mm-hmm. And I think we were, you know, I was much more earlier going out to people and selling the product, even if it was just a concept, to validate it, to get feedback. And also, we were much more bold in fundraising. We've now during 1.5 years we've raised 2 times more money than during the whole life cycle of my last startup. So once we see traction, we will press on the gas. And another thing that that maybe we do differently is we're a lot more structured in our legal foundations because it really makes sense to get a good lawyer in the beginning and build a startup up in the right way so that due diligence wouldn't be a nightmare during every funding round. So this is what I've learned also from my previous startup.
So the one question we get a lot from founders around the stage you're at is about pricing. And Pactum's such a novel solution. I'd be curious how you and the guys thought about pricing with your first customer, and now as you're starting to accumulate a roster of, you know, household names as customers.
Yeah. So we've determined a fixed price for a POC that is quite low and easy to accept for our customers. So that helps. And if we go to a full implementation, then what we usually do is a profit share model, because we're in a unique position since we know the previous value of the deal and we know the new value of the deal, and thus we can agree a percentage of profit share, and with that model, our incentives are perfectly aligned with our customer. Sometimes that doesn't work for instance, for new negotiations where there's nothing to benchmark against, and then we do a license fee per negotiation.
Yep. And how did you test that? Was it something that was iterative, presumably? How did you go about evolving and developing that, practically speaking?
Yeah. So we're an enterprise startup, so we can't iterate too much because there are only so many large enterprises to go around. Mm-hmm. So we've just brainstormed around it, and I identified this to be the best solution, and our goal was to mainly focus on the profit share model. What we discovered during the work is that there are some cases where the profit share doesn't work, and then we substituted that with another pricing model. But other than that, it has remained exactly as we planned it in the beginning so far.
And last question for you here, as I know we've covered a lot of ground. We've seen increasingly last 12 months or so more interest from US-based founders about having an engineering base in Europe. And I'd be curious, given, Pactum has an engineering hub in Estonia, you're US-based, how have you managed that to success? Are there any tips? Are there any lessons you can share from maybe when you mismanaged that or didn't quite have the outcomes you wanted?
I think it's a bit easier for us since we're all Estonians and our engineering is based in Estonia. And also, I highly encourage companies to set up an engineering base in Estonia. The thing is that it's a small country, and every Estonian entrepreneur works internationally since the domestic market is of 1.2 million people is simply too small that you cannot create a big enterprise here or a big business. So every Estonian enterprise is used to working internationally, and the same thing therefore goes for the engineering teams as well. So that works really well, and we do Zoom calls, and I think we work pretty smoothly.
Awesome. Well, hey, Martin, we've covered a lot of ground. Great to have you on here. I'm excited to share the Pactum story and what you're building with the world.
Hey, thanks so much, Santos. It was a pleasure to be on the show.
I appreciate it. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you liked. And be sure to head over to podcast.dynamo.vc to keep up to date with our latest content or subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Until next time.